Adelaide, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Fantastic crosstalk there. Gotta love it. Mason, Clinton Yates, and Ramona Shelburne. There's Steve Mason right there. You guys heard the tease to kind of start this show off. Let's say we're in the playoffs. Lakers start back up next or tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies. Then you got the Boston Celtics coming up. So we're going to continue to talk Lakers basketball, sitting at 41-12. I want to get Laker fans' thoughts on this. And a lot of this comes because of that game against the Denver Nuggets to close out the first half of the season, right before the All-Star break. Game on the line. 2 minutes left. You're in the playoffs. Who closes the game for the Los Angeles Lakers? What five players do you have on the court that you think is the best combination to help the Lakers win that big game in the postseason? It's a legitimate question. It really, really is. You know, we look at this Lakers team right now, and there's a lot of positives that you like about this team. And then there's a lot of question marks, too. I spent all yesterday talking about how, yeah, it's not a perfect roster. Yes, there's a lot of holes with this Lakers team. I believe that. But I'm trying to think here, and I'm trying to imagine who closes the game when all the chips are on the table, when it's the biggest game of the season, when it's game five or game four against the Clippers, when it's a road game against the Denver Nuggets and it's game four, just using these as examples, right? We'll see what happens come postseason. But you got to obviously have that right combination of players. You have to have the right defensive-minded players. You have to have players that are willing to do anything, the dirty work, give up their body, whatever it is on the basketball floor. You got to have the skilled players. Got to have the guys that help on the defensive side, guys that hit in threes. It's going to be a combination of everything. Who do you close with? And that's how we're going to start the show with. And don't worry, we're going to get into the NFL. DeMarco Farr is coming up at 7:15. We're going to talk about the proposed schedule. It looks like it's going to happen in the NFL where there's going to be expanded playoffs. A couple teams, seven teams on both sides rather than six. Potentially 17 games. We'll get into that. David Ortiz's comments that he had. You heard Mason talk about a little bit later. We'll get into that as well. We'll have one of the beat writers come on from the Memphis Grizzlies to talk about the game tomorrow. Another individual from the Boston Globe will hop on to talk about the Lakers Celtics on Sunday. So we got a lot going on. This is what I want to say. When it comes to that last five that you want to have on the court, I'm going to kind of go player by player. And by process of elimination, I'm going to get to my five. Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels. Nice players. I wish actually they got a little bit more playing time so we could see, you know, what they have to offer, what they can do on a consistent basis for the Lakers. I still don't think we really know that much about Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels. But, you know, that's what happens when you have a 12-man roster, and it's not like head coach Frank Vogel is not playing deep into that roster. He is. He's usually going 9-10 players. Cook and Daniels are not going to be in at the end of the game. Jared Dudley, which you can actually make a little bit of an argument for and say, well, Dudley is a veteran. He's been there. He's been in these big situations. Dudley's not cracking that top five at the end of a game. All right, let's keep going down the list. Process of elimination. Rajon Rondo, playoff Rondo, somebody that's had really just a great career, one of the smartest players in the NBA, somebody that when his career is over, he's either going to be a head coach, he's going to be a general manager, he'll be in some type of front office. As smart as it gets in the NBA, I'm not confident at this point Rondo should be in that final five when you're in the playoffs and you're trying to get that big game four win or game five win. So I don't have Rondo in my last five. I don't. Maybe it's because Rondo hasn't been consistent this season, but I think more for me is I think we lose so much on the defensive side when Rondo is in the game, so I got Rondo out. Let's keep going down that list. Avery Bradley and JaVale McGee. Let me do JaVale McGee first. I like McGee. I like him actually starting, but he's on the outside looking in. I think somebody else is going to grab that center position before JaVale McGee. Let's look at Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley is a tough one, by the way. Avery Bradley is that one player that I look at And I'm trying to kind of figure out in my mind, can you have Avery Bradley not in critical games in the playoffs? I know a lot of this is situational, and I know a lot of it you could say, well, it comes down to matchups. I'm not paying attention to any of that. All I'm saying is, what's the best five to close out a game? What are the five that you're most confident with towards the end of a game? As of right now, I got Avery Bradley on the outside looking in. All right, let's keep going down that list. Only a few players left now. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, there's no conversation to be had. They're obviously in the game, and two of the best players in the NBA. I can't wait, personally, to watch Anthony Davis the rest of the way this season. I can't wait to watch Anthony Davis come postseason, because I think it's going to be the best basketball he's ever played in his life on the biggest stage when it comes to sports, obviously the Los Angeles Lakers. LBJ, I'm not even going to waste my breath on LeBron. We know what he is. We know what his resume is. He'll be even better in the postseason. And you want to kind of evaluate what the most valuable player is. Go watch LeBron James when he's in games, and then go watch LeBron James when he's sitting on the sidelines trying to get a five-minute breather. All right, keep going down the list. So LeBron and AD are in. I got Dwight Howard in at the end of a big game. Can you just think about that for a second? When I say I got Dwight Howard in at the end of a big game, you think 6 months ago we're having any conversation like that? How about a year ago? You think anybody around the NBA is talking this positively about Dwight Howard and his impact at the end of games? Just his impact this season. I'm not even going to say at the end of games. But for me, if we're in a playoff game and it's a big-time game, I want Dwight Howard as the center of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know some people say that that the term death lineup gets thrown around way too easy. And typically they say AD's at the five in that death lineup. I want Dwight Howard at my five. I want Dwight Howard doing exactly what he's done all season long, helping on defense, making it tough for guys to get to the basket, blocking shots and waving that one finger into the crowd while Staples Center all gets up. Grabbing offensive rebounds, getting putbacks, being that player, that presence down low that makes you think twice if you're on the offense and Dwight Howard is sitting in the middle on defense of trying to drive into the lane and score off of Dwight Howard. For me, Dwight Howard is 100% in that ending five, that closing five for the Los Angeles Lakers. So then what does it come down to? Comes down to three players for two spots. Three players for two spots. KCP, Danny Green, Alex Caruso. We come back, I'll break down the final two spots on this closing five. If it's a big playoff game, who I want to see in those closing moments, those big time moments. How about Caruso, even in the conversation? Gotta love that from Alex Caruso. If you guys want to be a part of this conversation and you want to give me your closing five, obviously, love having you guys a part of the show. A lot of the reason why this show is built the way it is and I do a solo show is so I could take a lot of phone calls. So 877-710-ESPN. Tell me your closing five, and then I'll finish off who the last couple roster spots is. And then this is just a reminder to Lakers Nation out there. Today's your last chance to qualify for the Ultimate Sin Cara Tequila Experience. A pair of tickets to see the Lakers versus the Celtics this Sunday, and a pair of VIP passes for an exclusive Sin Cara Tequila postgame party. But we're not giving it away right now. We're giving it away in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming back, the closing five for the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 7. All right, I already screwed up. I started talking about the final three for two spots. I haven't even talked Kuz yet. All right, so this is where I am, and the topic is this. Your closing five, big playoff game, couple minutes left. Who do you have most confidence in that's going to deliver, or who do you have most confidence they work best together, or they work, there's, you know, some kind of a connection. The chemistry's there. Cook, Daniels, Dudley, don't have them in. I mentioned that Rondo, I don't have him in. Avery Bradley and JaVale McGee just on the outside looking in. Let's talk Kyle Kuzma for a quick second. Let me say this on Kuz. Kuz has got an incredible amount of potential. I know that, and you know that. Kuzma is a player that can put up 25 points in any game. He can. I don't have confidence in Kyle Kuzma at this stage of his career, at least in the first half of the season, that Kuzma's a guy that I could trust and depend on in those final minutes to make those big key defensive stops, to be a player that does the small things and the little things to help a team win. I don't have that confidence in Kuzma. So Kuzma's not in my closing five. Danny Green, just because Danny Green has done it for so long and he has that experience. Danny Green didn't play in that final couple of minutes against the Denver Nuggets. KCP and Alex Caruso were in that final five, right? So that was a big time moment. All right, who's going to end the game? Caruso had it going, KCP had it going, Dwight Howard had it going. Those were the five that ended it. Danny Green wasn't in there. But I do feel like come postseason, Danny Green's going to have big moments for the Lakers. By the way, 2 years, $30 million. Danny Green has not played up to what my expectations were coming into the season. Him and KCP averaging almost the same amount of points. I didn't think that was going to happen. But I'm going to give Danny Green just the edge to close out a game, because I've seen Danny Green in the playoffs deliver in big-time moments for the San Antonio Spurs and the Toronto Raptors and win an NBA championship, win two NBA championships. So that's why Danny Green's in. So my closing five at this point, Dwight Howard at center, Anthony Davis at the four, LeBron James at the three. Yes, he's a point guard, technically small forward. Okay, have him at the three. Danny Green at the two, only one spot left. So I don't have Kuzma in there. I don't have Avery Bradley. This is what it came down to for that final spot. KCP or Alex Caruso. By the way, that's really just an incredible compliment to both of those players. An incredible compliment. Think about the heat KCP was getting in the beginning of the season. Now there are games where I'm like, can you put KCP back in? Where's KCP? I need to see KCP. It's kind of funny to say that, but that's the reality. That's the truth. That's what KCP has kind of done for the Lakers over this over this kind of small window so far this year. I think he's earned more and more trust from Laker fans, probably more trust from his teammates, probably more trust from the coaching staff. And I respect that. Like, I respect KCP's work ethic. It's not a guy that's jacking up bad shots. He's playing good basketball. Last game against Denver, four steals from KCP. Then you got Alex Caruso, who has been incredible this season. You just heard Clinton Yates talking about it. Yates was in Chicago for the All-Star game. Some kid has a Caruso jersey on. He wants to take a picture with him or whatever the case. He's like, hey, you're the 100th person that's already asked. That's how popular Caruso is. And Caruso's a feel-good story. Caruso's, I spent a couple days talking about how I just love the way Caruso rolls up his sleeves, blue-collar guy, and goes to work. Who do you want me to guard? Sounds good. Doesn't mean he's going to stop him every possession, but you know he's going to work his you-know-what off. And Caruso is one of those players that, even though he hasn't been in the game for so long, you feel like the moment doesn't bother him. The knowledge of the game is there. Makes the right decisions. Understands when to cut. Understands when to take a charge. Understands when to get out of the way and let Anthony Davis and LeBron James go to work. So it came down to KCP and Alex Caruso. LA, don't hate me. I'm going to say for right now, KCP is closing out, is part of the closing five for the Los Angeles Lakers. So KCP, Danny Green, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard. Let me tell you why I didn't put Caruso on there. One reason. It's not because of his effort, because we all know that he's probably the hardest working player when he's on the court. At least it seems like it, right? It's not because he can't be a difference maker. No. He's been a difference maker for the Los Angeles Lakers so far this season. The only reason why I feel like KCP has a greater likelihood to get hot and give you 14, 16 points in a game. KCP has a greater likelihood to hit 4 3-pointers in a game. And when that, you know, when you're in playoff time and that spacing just continues to get more and more important because LeBron's got the ball or AD's got the ball, that's the only reason why I don't have Caruso in my closing five. So that's my five right there. I thought this would be an interesting topic because I'm very curious as the season progresses and we go up against these upper echelon teams. How great is this what the Lakers get? How great is it to know that the Lakers still got Milwaukee, Boston, the Clippers, the Philadelphia 76ers? They still have so many power matchups to go up against. I'm curious how the coach closes out some of these games. All right, let me take a couple quick calls. Raz in Woodland Hills, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Raz.
Hey, how you doing? Long time listener. I've called in a few times. I really like your lineup. I just have a few issues. I have one main issue.
Okay.
All right. Close your eyes. Imagine we're at a game four, game five with the Los Angeles Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute left. Your starting five is on the court. Do you really think that the hack of Dwight's not going to come back?
Say that last part one more time.
Do you really think that a hack of Dwight's not going to come back?
Well, luckily, Raz, you said under a minute, so they can't foul him. Because then,
let's say it's in the last few minutes. You're right.
So 2 minutes and under. By the way, you're right about that. That's a strategy. If there's 4 minutes left in a game and the other team's out of fouls, that's probably a strategy they use. But let's say 2 minutes and under. Do you want Dwight in that game or you don't?
I do, but his free throw shooting is such a liability, and that's what gives me the edge of McGee. Is his free throw shooting. And you know LeBron's been having horrible free throw shooting. I mean,
They might foul LeBron. the way that he shoots free throws.
You're right. And, you know, if you count our close games that we've lost this year, if you take half of them and you take the free throws that we've missed in that game and we've lost by a point, 2 points, 3 points, our free throws are, I think, our kryptonite for closing games.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and I will say this. I get your point on that. And as far as JaVale McGee goes, the difference between him and Dwight Howard, man, I can't tell you. I want Dwight in those games. I don't know what it is about Dwight. There's times where I just feel his presence. I just feel his presence. There's something about Dwight Howard on the defensive side, Dwight Howard blocking shots, Dwight Howard waving his finger into the crowd. I just feel it. I mean, that's my personal opinion when it comes to Dwight Howard. All right, more of your guys' phone calls. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. We're going to kind of continue to break down. And then DeMarco Farr coming up at 7:15. So stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for live on pay-per-view this Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. Order the fight. Should be a good one. Should be a good one. We'll continue the conversation. So who's your closing five for the Los Angeles Lakers? Big time moment. 2 minutes left to go. Raz had a good point. He said, you sure you want Dwight Howard in there, Al? What about them? What about them fouling him? The hack of Howard, whatever the heck you want to call it. You know, when I say the final 2 minutes, it's obviously advantageous for the Lakers. Before that, you're right. Guys like Doc Rivers, they're going to foul him. But in those final 2 minutes, I want Dwight Howard in the game. So for me, I got KCP. I got Danny Green. Danny Green's my fringe right now. It's like, Green, you got to deliver. Can't be 4 points or 7 points. It's got to be the Danny Green that we, you know, got accustomed to watching with the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. But we'll see. Come playoff time, I do feel like it's going to be a different Danny Green. I got Dwight at center, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. So that's my five right there. Let's get some of your guys' thoughts. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Steve, you're on 710 ESPN, buddy.
Yeah, hi. We think alike. You need to have Dwight in the game. Defense wins championships. You put Dwight at the five.
And he's been great, Steve. Steve, he's been great, too, you know?
Absolutely. You know, in that game against Denver. He's an animal down low. I mean, I've watched the game, I've coached, I've refereed. You did the same thing. That guy needs to be on the floor.
You feel obviously, his you feel his presence, you know?
His energy. Mm-hmm. His energy and presence, okay? No doubt. So he's at the five, KD's at the four, LeBron's at the three. I have KCP at the two because he's been a consistent outside threat to space the floor, and absolutely Alex Caruso at the end of the
game.
I'm not mad at you if you put him there. Listen, bro. You know, I know, anybody who watches basketball knows, and you know what he is? He's a bigger, more athletic Matthew Dellavedova. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Dellavedova got in games in Cleveland in the finals and helped LeBron win. Alex Caruso's a much better athletic guy than Matthew Dellavedova. He can be in at the game because he does all the winning little dirty plays that you need. And I trust him much more than Rondo. And my fringe guy would be Danny Green. It just depends on who's hitting the outside shot, KCP or Danny Green. But absolutely, with Dwight, AD, and LeBron at 3, 4, and 5, a lot of teams are going to have a hard time getting inside.
Steve, appreciate you calling in. All right, let's keep going here. Look, the Caruso part, I might be a lone ranger on the Caruso part. I don't have him in simply because I think Green, you got to give that respect to spreading the floor, and I think KCP's got that. He's got that potential, that ability where he can put up 4 or 5 3-pointers. He can. We've seen it. Caruso, maybe that's the one part of his game where I'm still waiting for on a more consistent basis. But here's the thing with Caruso. He's not selfish. He doesn't need to get his own shots. But right now, Caruso's on the outside looking in. You know what's crazy? I don't think there's going to be too many people that disagree with me that Kuzma's not in that final five, which I don't think I would have thought of that coming into this season. Ivan in South LA. Ivan, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Ivan.
Thanks for having me. So I have, I tell you right now, I don't have Alex Caruso, but I wouldn't be mad if he was there at all. Other than Quinn Cook, I got to go with the most experienced guys. And Avery Bradley, to me, has been just as effective in the playoffs as I've seen Danny Green be in the playoffs, you know, and of course KCP out there. The only thing I would say,
are you surprised, Ivan? Are you surprised that, you know, we're kind of not even hesitating on KCP?
No, I'm not. I was Brandon Ingram all the way. I never wanted to keep Kyle Kuzma. Mm-hmm. To me, he's flashy lights.
Well, and I wasn't even talking about Kuz, but I'll say this for Kuz. Yeah, he's not in. He's not. I mean, listen. We're all watching the same game. We're listening to the same broadcast. I really, really hope Kuzma, you know, shuts somebody like myself up the rest of the season and is just effective on the floor. But I don't think right now he's part of that closing five.
Oh, absolutely not. And you, of course you want that for Kuz. You know, he's got the Laker uniform on and he's our guy, you know. But he came in, I believe, when Caruso came in, he was flashy all the way. Caruso had to go through the D-League, two-way contracts, and to me, you know, he started off a little flashy, and now he's rugged. And
oh, that's what I love about him, too.
And he's, wow, I'm so glad we got him, and I look forward to potential of him. It's just not having that playoff experience.
Sure.
And we got those other guys that do and still are rugged, you know. Like, every Bradley's rugged, so long as he's healthy.
Ivan, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to sneak in a few more calls. All right, there's another caller without having Kuzma in that closing five. I hope Kuzma just shuts me up. I'm telling you, I hope he does. Hope these last 29 games. Can Kuzma get a little bit, can he get a little rough in him? You know, can he be, is there some dog in Kyle Kuzma that we haven't seen? That's what he needs, in my opinion. Skill set's there. Obviously, you can put up buckets, but I want to see some more dog from Kyle Kuzma. What do you guys need? You need me to dive on the ground for loose balls? You need me to take a couple charges? You need me to grab 12 rebounds in a game? I got it. Whatever you need, I will do. I'm waiting for that from Kuzma. Skyler and Hawthorne, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Skyler.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you. I wanted to call in with the whole Kobe thing, but I didn't get a chance. But that's okay, because we all know how we feel about that. But
You could call in. You could call in any time during any topic and talk Kobe, and I'll stop and I'll talk Kobe. So
I remember when we were waiting for our Uber, and there was just no chance, and my phone died, and I caught that Uber, and I remember talking to you at the airport, man. But besides that, you know, Kuzma, dude, we all saw what he could do when like LeBron and AD were out and everything, and he was awesome. He was the best player on the floor, and I remember at the beginning of the season when KCP was not playing well, and he was coming off the bench, and what did we do for KCP?
For KCP, we put
him in the starting lineup, and he started balling. Like, why aren't we doing that with Kuzma? Kuzma is a volume scorer. He needs to play.
Can I tell you something, Skyler? Here's the one thing. This is the one thing, like you just mentioned there. You said when LeBron and AD were out for a game, Kuzma stepped up. Or let's say AD was out for a game, Kuzma stepped up, like you're referring to, right? The problem, Skyler, is we need him to perform when those two players are playing. You know, like we don't have, there is no scenario that's going to play out where LeBron and AD aren't going to take the bulk of the shots, aren't going to have the ball in their hands, you know, for, I don't know, 75% of the game. And Kuzma's got to adjust to that. And I'm not saying Kuzma can't do it. I'm just not confident at this point in this stage of his career that he's a guy that you can rely on it when the game's on the line in the final couple of minutes.
Well, we've all seen him hit those buzzer beaters, though. Like, I've seen it happen, and I feel like, why not just put him in the starting lineup? Like, look, JaVale McGee and AD, it's great. But, yo, like, let AD play the five a little bit and bring in Kuz. Like, I know AD wants to play the four, and it's working. But I think we're going to have to start trying some things, you know, because we all know who's on the other side, and it's going to be scary. But you got to try some things. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, Skyler, what I think they'll end up doing. I appreciate you calling in. One of the, if the Lakers have an advantage over the Clippers, many people would say it's the Lakers' size, right? Many people would say that. Okay, the Clippers got a lot of wing players. I mean, look, I've been barking for a wing player since a month before the trade deadline, saying, man, if we could just get another wing player, can we get one more just so we go up? You got Kawhi, you got now Marcus Morris over there, obviously Paul George, and the list kind of goes on for the Clippers. That's their strength. Their strength is that position. And then they've figured out a way to get incredible depth in the process as well. But the one advantage we have is our size. Our size is an advantage over the Clippers. Do I want to go small against the Clippers? Or do I want to use Dwight Howard as an advantage? So if Montrezl Harrell is going to be in the game, let him and Dwight go at each other for the final couple minutes of a game. Make Marcus Morris have to guard Anthony Davis. Or maybe it's going to be Kawhi Leonard trying to guard Anthony Davis. I'd rather try and have the Lakers take advantage of the size they have than go small to accommodate Kuzma's preference. That doesn't sound like a good idea. Andy on the 405, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Good, man. Thank you.
So I think it's going to be situational. I mean, it's going to depend on, do we need to play small ball to run with the guys? Do we need to...
So let's take that away. Just give me the five that you feel. And I know, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. There's a lot of predicaments, but the five you're most comfortable with that you think you got to close out a game, make the other team adjust to you. Who's that five?
Well, other than the obvious two, then I got to go with Green just because of his experience. I got to go with Dwight because he's going to lock it down. And I have to go with Caruso. I mean, the reason why I pick him is because if you look at what he did last year at the end of the season and what he's been doing so far, he needs more time. And at the end of the game, I feel like he's going to be doing the little things that's going to make it easier for the other guys to score.
Andy, I appreciate you calling in. I will say this. You know, I hope Coach Frank mentioned this right after the Denver game, that he's going to probably have to figure out ways to get Caruso more playing time, more opportunities. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I tweeted out in that game against Denver, Caruso didn't play the entire third quarter. And I was like, Coach, Can we get Caruso in? You got to get Caruso in. And I feel like at this point, this stage of the season, we've seen enough from Caruso where he shouldn't be playing 22 minutes out of a 53-minute game. And I'm talking about the 48 minutes plus the 5 minutes in overtime. I think he's got to play more. And in a regular season game with a 48-minute clock, why can't he play 25 minutes? I don't feel like he's done anything wrong to not warrant 25 minutes in a game. Paul in Huntington Beach, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Sliwa, brother. I love your show. You're like a shrink for us Lakers nation.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it.
So let me start with Kuz. Kuz, we love him because of his smooth three-pointers and his slashing ability sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the emphasis on defense have taken away his strength. That's what I believe. If he is going to be let to play the way he likes, which is three-point shots mainly, I think we'll get back our Kuz. The problem is there's so much emphasis on defense. He's trying to grab rebounds and trying to do other things that actually he's not that good at. And then for the perimeter shooters or the wing players, I think we let go Sweet Lou for nothing, but that's a topic for another day maybe. Imagine if we had Sweet Lou on our team, what we could have been doing now. My five are the following. Dwight, because he brings that intimidation factor that nobody else in our team has. You can tell the other team is totally intimidated once they get into the paint.
And he's effective, he's very effective. Paul, we're coming up to a commercial break. Give me those. Give me the final four.
Dwight, AD, LeBron, and Avery and Caruso.
There you go. Appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling in. Caruso gets a lot of love. A lot of love from Alex Caruso. Okay, this is what we're going to do. I got to kind of change topics here a little bit. DeMarco Farr, Super Bowl champion DeMarco Farr. I got to confirm that, I think. I still think I got to confirm it.
No, he won.
Okay, all right.
Super Bowl champion DeMarco Farr.
I want to spend a little bit of time on looks like it's going to get passed. The CBA, which is the collective bargaining agreement for the NFL, you're kind of in the process now where the owners have voted for adding an extra team to the playoffs in both conferences and 17-game schedule, but now it's up to the players to approve that as well. I'll get back to Lakers. Don't worry, Laker fans. But DeMarco Farr is coming up next. I want to get his thoughts on the new schedule. Talk also just a little bit of Rams. What's this new offense going to be built around? Is it going to be built around Jared Goff? It's going to be built around Todd Gurley. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Super Bowl champion DeMarco Farr. Hopping on the Sliwa Show. What's going on, DeMarco?
I'm hot right now.
Okay, wait, just real quick.
I'm mad right now.
All right, go ahead. You do your take, and then I'll do mine.
I got 17 games. I got seven playoff teams per conference.
Yep.
And you want to ask me about a starting five on the Lakers?
Just a second.
Where do you think my head is right now?
There's a method to this madness, all right? There's a method.
What is the method to the madness?
There is no method. No. Look, first of all, you won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Wikipedia. I can't depend on Wikipedia. I'm sitting here.
You're just now finding this out?
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting with these guys. I'm like, I think he won one. And Jesse's looking it up.
99, the greatest show on turf.
Jesse's looking it up.
You know what? I'll tell you what. If what I heard is true...
Mm-hmm.
By December of this year, you'll never forget that. That will never be a question because of the Kurt Warner movie.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I like that.
I thought I read that. I heard that. There's a movie about his life. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be somewhere around December this year or December next year or something like that. But, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. So you'll never have to ask that question once it's on the big screen.
Who's going to play you?
I have no idea. They did this on radio back in St. Louis, and I hung up on everybody. It was like all fat guys. Pissed me off. Yeah.
I love it, man. That's awesome. That's hilarious. All right, so before we get into this, I know we got a lot of great NFL stuff to talk about, but who would you close it out? Obviously, this is kind of a hot topic right now with the Los Angeles Lakers. They are extremely deep. They can go, you could play 7, 8, 9 different guys to kind of close out the game. What do you think? Who do you have most confidence in to close out the game?
This is funny. Right around the new year, getting to this point to where everybody's confident that this is you know, champagne problems, trying to figure out which good guys to close out a game with. So number one, that's awesome. I wish you can clone LeBron James three different times.
Yep.
But, that you can't do. But the funny thing is, this should be a question I would be asking you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give me some scenarios. What would you like to see? And I'll tell you if I like it or not.
Okay, I got my five. My five is Dwight is Dwight's in at the end of games. So he's going to be my center.
Thank God. See, I told everybody way back when they re-signed this new Dwight Howard, that maybe he's part of the big three. He could be your third superstar come playoff time, and everybody poo-pooed it.
Well,
but anyway, go ahead.
Here's the beauty, DeMarco, is, you know, look, if we use a football reference, right, use that as an example, somebody that is completely okay with doing the dirty work, somebody that's completely okay with making that extra block, not worried about what the stats look like, not worried about if he's getting, you know, the spotlight. And I think what's happened with Dwight is because he hasn't worried about any of that, he is getting a lot of love, and it's well-deserved.
Imagine this. Imagine if your Horace Grant was a Hall of Famer, a Dwight Howard. Your Dennis Rodman, well, he's a Hall of Famer anyway, but is a
I know great, what you mean. Mm-hmm.
A former great player, a former go-to guy, is your garbage player, your garbage man. He does the dirty work. Imagine if that guy is Dwight Howard and he actually buys in.
So I had,
that could be amazing come playoff time.
I had Dwight at the five, LBJ, Anthony Davis, and then my my backcourt is Danny Green and KCP.
Okay, we got issues. So LeBron's bringing it up?
Yeah, LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands. You put him wherever you want to put him, and he's going to have the ball in his hands.
Who are we playing? Who are they playing in your mind?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Final 2 minutes of a game, the other team's got to adjust to you.
People that can shoot?
I got spacing. We got Danny Green, who's going to space the floor. AD can hit jumpers if need be. And KCP, the only reason why he cracks my last five is because I got more confidence in him to hit some jumpers than some of those other guys on the bench.
Okay, you're hoping. Yeah, that's the Hopi Indian tribe. I heard that. You're hoping Kyle Kuzma is ready for prime time. And that, we don't know, but we're going to find out. So I guess I'm with you. I like everything about him except his hair.
Well, Kuz, no. Kuz is I can't put Kuz in there. I got KCP. No Kuzma for me in that in that closing
fight. Oh, you like KCP? Okay. He's gritty. I wish it was Kuzma. You know, I wish he was ready for prime time. I like KCP. At least you got some grit. I feel you. I like your five.
I wish DeMarco, I think a lot of people feel that way, but okay, let me get your thoughts real quick. Why is expanding the NFL playoffs to seven teams in each conference a good idea?
Why is it a good idea?
Yes.
I just read this article about if they had expanded to seven teams for the last 10 years, the Steelers would have made it like 8 of 10 times. So there's more chances for good teams to get a shot at winning a Lombardi. And, you know, this is the funny thing about playing 17 games or expanding the playoff roster. Anybody that was in the playoffs this year, last year, any other year, if you're one and done, two and done, I guarantee you, to a man, at the end of the year, they all wish they had one more game to play.
Hmm.
So if you can play 16, 17, 18, 20 games to win a championship, you can play that extra playoff game. Theoretically speaking, if you get the money right, you can play that 17th week. You have to be smart. This isn't my NFL. This is today's NFL, where it's all about player safety. It's all about these guys getting the proper amount of rest, which is what we didn't get back in the day. So even if you had 17 regular season games, I think you can do it with today's athlete. You just have to be smart enough to take care of your body year-round.
So, DeMarco, personally for me, I love the expansion of one more team in each conference. And I think it's a kind of a no-brainer. Like you mentioned, Pittsburgh would have been in this year. The Rams would have been in this year.
Absolutely.
And I think it's also, you know, it's one of those where it's not even just about that playoff game or that extra team. How much more fun is week 15, 16, and 17 just leading up to the playoffs, right? Like the amount of teams that still have a chance. That, to me, is what I probably enjoy most, even more than the extra team in the playoffs. But I just love more cities having an opportunity to get in. It creates some different excitement. It makes a lot more games interesting towards the end of the season.
Well, here's why. This is why I don't gamble, because I can't think more than, you know, three or four steps, you know, down the road. So I don't know how this becomes a bad thing. If you're a great football team and you start to tank, or if you're a bad football team and you want to tank for certain spots, which is entirely possible. I think you kind of saw that this year out of Miami until they caught some sort of life at the end. But how this can be manipulated, I don't know. But I'm with you. I'm for the excitement of it all. If you're still in it come week 15 and you have to go on the road to win a game to keep your playoff hopes alive, I think that is must-see TV. And even if it's not a marquee star, if it's not Patrick Mahomes, it could be anybody, but that game is so important to a playoff push for that city, I think it would be awesome.
DeMarco Farr hopping on the Sliwa Show. DeMarco, get your thoughts on this. So the 17 games, I know, by the way, the players still have to vote for all this. The 17 games, the earliest it would start is 2021. Adam Scheffner put out a tweet yesterday on that. Just being a player that played in the league, kind of knowing the grind of a 16-game schedule, I mean, everything that comes with it, is the 17 games, explain that one to me. How necessary do you think that is? Do you think it's the right move for the NFL?
I wish I could put you through it, and maybe I'm biased. I think football players are the best athletes in the world. For what you ask them to do, that's why there's only 16 games, because it is so brutal. And you're asking them to do one more. It's unbelievably tough just to make it through a regular season. If you're good enough to actually qualify for the postseason, you got to find another gear, especially when you haven't done it before. So to add one more game, that's asking a lot. So I'm as interested as anyone else, being a former player, maybe a little bit more, as to what these current guys are going to do with being asked to play 17. Are they okay with being the bad guy? Are you okay saying no? Because physically, it will take a lot out of you. I'll give you, for instance, the first time I played more than 16 games was the year we won the Super Bowl. And the year after that was my last year in football. It was just absolutely brutal playing that many football games. So I wonder what these guys are going to do. And I think the league has really put pressure on them with that second vote when they voted and put the CBA through. So you put the ball in the players' court. So, you know, are you okay with being the bad guy, saying no, this is unsafe, we won't do it?
I feel like from a fan perspective, if they said, hey, it's going to be 16 games, that it is what it is, I don't feel like I lost in something, you know? I mean, yes, I love the NFL, but I'm sitting on a couch. I'm not actually playing. The fact that another playoff team is going to be added, that excites me more than the 17th game. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if others feel like, no, we got to have an extra game. I don't know. That one just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't sway me one way or the other.
Yeah, the seven playoff teams is a no-brainer. I love that. More chances to win. Good. When you do crown a champion, think about what you have to go through to make it from there. If you make it as a seventh seed to a Lombardi Trophy, just put that team in Canton immediately. I mean, don't even go to your own city's parade. Go straight to Canton and march right to the Hall of Fame, because that would be amazing.
DeMarco Farr hopping on the Sliwa Show. DeMarco, we did this yesterday. We know what home games, we know the opponents the Rams are going to play at SoFi Stadium. I just want to, if you can kind of paint the perfect picture out of all the games that you know the Rams, all the opponents you know the Rams are going to face at the new stadium, who would you most love for them to open up against?
Ooh, to be honest, San Francisco. Let's just get it started. Really, let's just get it on. Let's get it started. The rivalry is there. You can smell it. You can feel it. You can taste it. Why not? Would you really? Do you think Sean McVay would want to lay down to the San Francisco 49ers opening that new stadium? Hell no.
Not
that
at all.
It would be a brawl.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think the beauty with just the division in general, right? You have the 49ers, you have Seattle, and obviously the Rams. Just having that extra playoff spot, you don't really have any excuse this upcoming season, do you? You know, if it ends up being the way it looks like it's going to be, and you're going to have seven teams get in from the NFC and the AFC, Rams got to be in that mix, correct?
Well, okay. Do you have an answer for the Todd Gurley question, or is there a question in your mind?
There's a lot of questions.
Okay, well, that's the only one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that was the only one all of last year for me. It's mm-hmm. still a question. If the Todd Gurley I saw in 2018 shows up, you're not talking about single-digit wins in a regular season. You're talking about playoff bound, one or a two seed, three at the most. He's that good. But, you know, a guy that only plays half the time when you're doing it by committee, it's going to be tough to win in this division. But with a healthy Todd Gurley, the guy that we saw, you know, anything can happen. But that's the only question I have about this football team. And I get it. You need more help up front. Every team needs more help up front. This is the National Football League. So, yeah, it'd be nice to restock, reload. But if I could choose one thing, it would be to make Todd Gurley look like Todd Gurley of 2018. And I'll take my chances against anybody.
DeMarco, appreciate you hopping on, buddy.
You got it, man.
All right, that's DeMarco Farr right there. Broke down the closing five as well. All right, so let's do this when we come back. I got some thoughts on that playoff schedule. I got some thoughts on what DeMarco Farr was just talking about. And the Todd Gurley part, by the way, that's a humongous question for the Los Angeles Rams. But let me say this, too. You can't have any excuses this upcoming year. It is so critical and important, especially in this first year at SoFi Stadium, especially because you made it to the Super Bowl and then didn't make the playoffs. You can't do that 2 years in a row. So we'll talk a little bit about the Rams. And then I'm going to continue on this Los Angeles Lakers talk. The closing five, like I talked about, my closing five was Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Danny Green, and KCP. That's my closing five. If you still want to give your thoughts on that, the phone number is 877-710-ESPN. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view, Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. More of you guys' phone calls. We come back. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.